Hello, welcome back for part two of the Bloody Regalia. This is the second part of the actual play we've been doing with the lovely people from Difficult Glass and Aki from Goblets and Gaze. Just a quick couple things we can get into the session, the episode. So next week, I don't think we'll be able to finish this recording because we're all crappy busy and like life is wild, as you know. So you may have normal episodes for a little bit while we get the other one sorted. Then we'll finish this up because there's still a little bit more we need to do. Secondly, we actually have a Threadless store right now. If you go to fdtt.threadless.com, we have a couple shirts up right now. For the next couple months, any proceeds we make from this are going to help the families from the terrorist attack in beginning of March in Atlanta, to, you know, stop Asian hate and AAPI, where it is. Hopefully to the families, if I can find out where it goes to. But that's where all the proceeds are going. Anything helps. Right now, there's actually a couple designs up for Goblets and Gays that I made. There's Eat the Orange. There's one's a Briar Sting, and the Groon was here. I'm really proud of how they came out. They all look great. You get them on the shirt. You get stickers on the notebook. You could even get it on a shower curtain if you so choose. So I would definitely check that out. As well as check out all the stuff that these lovely people are on. Of course, you can find Difficulty Class at Difficulty Class. That is Trevor and Allie, both great friends, great podcasts. I've been doing great work consistently over the past year. Like, nearly an episode, I think they didn't miss a week, or maybe only 1 week the past year. You can find Trevor at The Trevor. You can find Alibug at Alibug123. Of course, it's going to be in the description and all that stuff. Follow Aki at AkiNomi_art. And also at Goblets and Gays. Again, that's going to be in the description as well. Also check out our new show that just came out this past weekend called Anamamagiri. It is a City of Mist actual play. I'm actually in it, Dusty Hill, along with Aki and some other people from the Goblets and Gays crew. Aubrey, the wonderful GM of Goblets and Gays, is the GM for this one. I had so much fun with that. It's a really fun game that we've been doing so far. I would highly recommend it. But yeah, check all those things out. And again, there'll be easy clickable links in the description and also on the Twitter. But yeah, I hope you enjoy the rest of the session. And if y'all have any ideas of what's happening or what may happen, maybe tweet us at, From Dust to Dice. Or if you have questions or concerns, send us a mail at fromdusttodice@gmail.com and we'll shout you out. Again, maybe next week. Probably normal episodes. We'll figure it out as it comes out. But enjoy the show.
Yeah, this is beyond my expertise.
What, darkness?
The dark. The dark is beyond your expertise.
Anything that requires me to use more than one brain cell at a time is going to be beyond this character's.
That does explain expertise. The limp biscuit. All right, Max, you want to take point on this?
No, I'm going to be right behind him as I put my hand on Jacob's shoulder and I guide him forward with the flashlight.
Okay. Oh my beautiful. God.
Yes.
I'm going to look at Chris and go, that's why she's the boss.
Yeah, I could tell. Yeah. And Chris is going to like reach into his pocket and he also has a flashlight as well. Like one of those like mag lights, essentially. Awesome. And he's going to turn it on, follow suit. As you start walking slowly into this, your flashlight is the only thing illuminating as you get further and further. And after maybe like a minute of walking, you spin your flashlight around and you realize that you are in like the lobby of the theater. Like you see the old concession stand that's been very abandoned. The glass has been shattered. There's like wrappers and old boxes of stuff. There's like an abandoned like nacho like cheese machine like on its side, but besides like your footsteps, it has been eerily quiet the whole time.
Jacob is definitely picking up that nacho cheese machine. Like, I could use this.
Wait, so you're okay? Chris kind of,
I'm just putting it like up under my arm and I'm just like, I'm taking this with me.
Chris is just like, I, that's been here since like The '80s, dude.
It's vintage.
How can you argue with that when you have that van out front?
Okay, mira, that is my dad's van. I'm working on
some guy's nacho thing, so like, we can make it better. Don't worry about it.
Yeah,
it's not your problem, Chris.
Oh, good. We're also using comebacks from the 1980s as well. And Alan's just going to walk forward a little bit more and check stuff out.
Okay. Did any of you want to, like, do any, like, did you want to search stuff, investigate a mystery, or just kind of like...
Well, I mean, are we in a spot that we think is good for investigating?
Like the main lobby, yeah.
You're in the main lobby, yeah. I mean, if you look around...
Okay, then yeah, I would like to investigate because I've got a little cool thing that I can do.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Investigate mystery is sharp. Cool. Oh wow, that's nice. So that all together is an 11. Oh, nice.
So you get to you hold two. So you hold like what happened here, what sort of creature is it? What can it do? What can hurt it? Where to go?
Oh yeah, I should probably getting the book out to see what exactly those ones
I could,
do. But one of the things is though that I can do is forensic divination. When you successfully investigate a mystery, you may ask what magic was done here as a free extra question. Ooh. What magic was done here?
Ooh. So as you're kind of like looking around and you definitely notice the distinct like lack of sound as besides you're walking, like, you know, it's abandoned, but like usually, you know, you hear creaking or something, you don't. So you're kind of trying to like pick up on what's happening, and you know, you are a person that is very skilled, you know, in magic, and you've been doing this for quite a while, and you kind of like pick in and you notice that there is definitely a presence. Sometimes with this, you pick up the life force of like rats or something. You pick up like other creatures. You notice definitely a magical presence. And it's something you haven't experienced before. Shut up, explain. and if you really concentrate on it, you could definitely tell that it's coming from one of the theaters that are like down the hallway. Like you see... like if you have someone like point their flashlight, you see one of the like the things where it has like the movie name. There's only like two letters, a T and a H, and actually an open door.
It could say anything.
So I got a hold two, yeah, right? Hold two. I think I'm gonna ask what sort of creature is this.
As you are trying to hone on like this magic thing, you pick up on another like energy of something connected to it, but this one's more familiar. This one is energy of something that you've actually felt when you've like picked up the sense of actually Jacob of something that's like a shapeshifter.
Okay. And what can hurt it?
Is it punches?
I would say with that, if you want to hold on to that right now, there's no way you can get any discernible information from that.
Yeah,
I'll let you hold on to that if you'd like.
Okay. Well, I think like the only thing that I might know is like, is there a specific thing that normally hurts shape changers?
If you want, I can give you that. Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah.
This is something that, with your experience, it could be either something of iron or silver or lead, something of that sort. It's okay. Usually one of those things affect them.
Does magic usually do good
stuff? Yeah, I mean, and you're thinking of stuff that would not include magic. Yeah, usually magic would be able to hurt a shapeshifter, no problem. Like, you've messed with Jacob before, so you would know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, there is a shapeshifter in your midst.
Yes, so. And it may not be exactly your kind of shapeshifter, which is why I asked a general form of shapeshifter.
No, I got... Yeah. No, I get that, but, like you have definitely heard me say, hey, is that silver? Is that real silver?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. 100% Alan has pranked you with some fucking silver. Like, that's not even absolutely a question. Absolutely. Yeah. Like, I know that part. I was just saying if there was anything else that other shape changers might share that would hurt it. So I think with that, Alan is going to kind of, I imagine him kneeling down and trying to look cool doing it. He's going to stand up and he's going to point down at that theater and just go, yeah, there's definitely something here. If you see any of us acting weird, maybe call it out. Could be the thing. Might take some appearances. I don't know.
When you say could be the thing, Max immediately just deep sigh, remembering what the Marquise said outside. And then she says, okay. And she just kind of thinks for a second and says, I want to go get my gun.
You didn't bring it?
I would like to point out that as Weathers, that Jacob is such a son of a bitch that I think anybody that has a gun probably has silver bullets with them. That just like at any point, Jacob will have crossed the last bridge and they just want to be done with him.
I mean, as a professional, like Max is a professional. This is like their thing. They probably have fucking silver lead bullets. I mean, lead bullets are just fucking bullets, but also. Yeah,
And in response to Marie, she'd be like, well, I have a gun, but I meant like a bigger gun. And she'll go out to the trunk of the Prius and grab her shotgun.
Okay, like. I think
I'm gonna go to the. I think that's the first time that that sentence has ever been said. I'm gonna go to the trunk of the Prius and grab my shotgun.
Okay, I think like Chris of like okay, well the other person with the flashlight see me. I'm gonna go follow them, and then it's like, and he's gonna meet you outside and sees you coming down the alley. He's like, you have a fucking shotgun? What the fuck?
Yeah, by the way, I went with her and got my staff.
Okay, nice. Yeah, and so he says that, and just like as you walk in the hallway, actually, you hear footsteps behind you, Max, and you see Joanna has arrived. It's like, looks at you, is like, assuming by the weapon that there's probably something more than just a homeless serial killer in there.
She would nod towards Alan and say, he sent something big, I'm assuming.
It was fairly big, you know. It could be. Might change on its, you know, whatever it's feeling.
Well, if you have a choice to be big, you'd be big. And she literally loads up the shotgun as she's saying this and goes inside.
And Alan is once again going to go, that's why she's the boss.
Joanna looks at you. I know.
and yeah, before Max goes inside, Jacob just kind of shoots her the eye, like is it time? Like is it time to change? Like you're the boss, and you told me not to bear with you unless it's time. Is it time?
Max would just put up one hand and just be like, not yet.
No, it's not bear time.
No, not yet.
I'm gonna ready up by putting my little fancy glove on that is a gift, yes. Just a very nice reminder. It's got silver, like it's the claws are silver. I don't Wolverine it yet, you know what I mean? It's just gonna stay on like a nice little fancy cocktail Jacob glove. But you know, this is definitely I have it ready. And then with the same hand, and I'm gonna wait for Chris to come back. I'll pull out my cute tiny gun from like my bag and be like, okay, I'm ready.
Chris, like, do all of you have fucking guns?
Yeah.
Max would look
the wizard with the staff reaches into his trench coat and pulls out a revolver and goes, yes.
Max would look back and be like, you don't?
No.
It's like, these are the only guns I've got. And Jake.
No. It's a gun. I don't. But you do see him like, kind of like reach behind from his waistband and he pulls out like, you know, like an impressive looking dagger. It's not like tiny, but it's not like a machete size. Like, I mean, I'm prepared, but sorry, I don't fucking y'all are fucking wild.
Dear, first and foremost, we are full-blooded, bald eagle Americans. Secondly, what if you were going up against like a Michael Myers motherfucker? What's your tiny little butter knife gonna do?
At which point, Alan's gonna lean over and point at her gun and go, "And what is that gonna do against Michael Myers?"
He's gonna put a bullet in his dick.
In his dick. And he's just gonna, Alan is gonna walk away muttering, "Michael Myers dick."
Chris is just gonna be like, he's gonna kind of like turn it around in his hand, like kind of like trolling it almost, but not quite. He's like, "I mean, yeah, it's not just a fucking regular dagger, okay? But that's, you know, you don't need to know that right now."
Magical? This is magical.
Alan from the distance, ooh, foreshadowing!
Yeah. Yeah, Jacob just kind of leans over and is like, she's always super critical about daggers. Don't ask me, just let her.
Chris is just gonna like look at you. Just
let her be.
Put the dagger back. He's like, It's okay.
Yeah.
Turns on flashlight.
Listen,
from the doorway of the theater. Can we go kill the thing now?
She's difficult to please.
Chris has walked in with a flashlight already.
So, like, is this the room we're checking out? Should I kit up, or are we going somewhere else?
You should kit up.
Alrighty.
Yeah, Jacob pulls his Motorola Razor out of his pocket.
You still have that? You all have weird perceptions of what 2012 was.
I know what 2012 was. I graduated in 2006. I know what 2012 was. But of course I still have my frickin' Motorola Razor.
Oh my god, how old are you?
Okay, kidding
I'm
up.
I'm going to pull out my digital sound recorder, put it on, and throw it in my top jacket pocket, and bust out the EMF.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, are you turning it on?
Yep.
Okay.
I'm going to bust out the MF.
Oh, Jesus. Hit it. All right. So, where are you turning it on in the lobby?
Yep.
Okay. As you turn it on, kind of like around this area, like you pointed at the concession stand, the upside down nacho machine that I assume Jacob put back down.
Still under okay, my pointed arm. At still absolutely 1,000% under yeah. my arm.
I'm you don't really sense anything here, but as you are getting closer to the theater and you see the theater is like theater like 11. Like you see a blip. It's going between nothing and then like let's say this is fucking phasmophobia shit. Like 1 out of 5, it's going between nothing and like 2 going back. So you hear like a beep, beep, but like it's not consistent.
Okay. So you guys want to go inside that theater room and bust out the Ouija board?
If we have the chance.
Do you
sure.
want to do that? I would. Yeah, that sounds like fun. And I go into the theater.
And I follow behind.
As you are...
Jacob's in the theater, cheese machine under his yeah. arm.
As you walk into the theater, like I said, this is definitely much like a theater from the 80s. So there's all the chairs. It's on a slight incline going towards the actual screen. And you can see like the screen, if you point your flashlight at it, there's like tears and there's graffiti on it. But it's also like kind of like on a stage where a curtain would go through. Because sometimes, like, you know, old theaters, they have actual, like, theatrical productions here. But you're going through around, and you see, like, debris on the floor. But you don't, again, you don't hear any, like, creaking or any skitters of anything besides yourself. And where are you planning to bust out the Ouija board?
So I'm going to go closer to the screen and set up the video camera on the tripod facing us and then just plop down the Ouija board right in front of the screen.
Okay.
While he does that, I just want to check out the all the loose areas, like behind the screen, if there's anywhere in the side stage, if there's any gaps there, just anywhere anyone could be hiding. I want to do a sweep, essentially.
Yeah, as you're kind of like going around, like you look around the seats, you could, like, if you scan your flashlight through them, you can't really see anything. And I just want to remind you all, this place is pretty much pitch black. Like, only your flashlights are illuminating the area. And as you get closer to the stage / the screen, you definitely notice, like, there's still, like, the curtains there. And as you put your flashlight around them, like, you see, like, is a, like, a deep red curtain. But as you're getting closer, you notice that some of the curtain is actually darker than the others. But, like, you don't, that's really, it looks darker than the rest of the curtain on both sides, but there's, like, nothing really there. You can move in, there's no one behind it. There doesn't seem to be any other person that you could perceive here.
Does it look like it was wet, or, like, as if a shadow's on it?
Why don't you roll investigate a mystery for me?
Yeah, I'm totally 100% good at that.
I would like to roll a rewrite history.
Okay, that could have been totally way worse, considering I have a -1 in sharp. That is going to be a 10.
Oh, nice. Okay, so you get hold 2, and for easiness, I'm just going to see, will this work? I'm just going to copy paste it.
Yeah.
Into,
I like paste
in the Discord chat.
What happened here?
And as you're getting closer, you go to those darker spots, and they're not wet, but you definitely get a stench of, like, you know, besides like dusty and old and stuff, you're actually getting kind of like a coppery smell, which, you knowing, that would definitely be like, you, there's been blood on these, like, not recent enough where it's fresh, but recent enough where you can still smell it.
Ooh, that's not good. Sam, you might get something over here.
Ooh. So I'll move up with the Ouija board up there and reset up the tripod and camera where Max is leading me. EMF next to the curtain and Ouija board down.
Okay.
Is there any way for me to see, like, if there's blood anywhere else in the surrounding area, or if it's literally only on the curtain?
If you want, I could let you, like say if you want to use what's being concealed here as your second hold.
Yeah, sure.
Then yeah, if you're going around, you'd see, like, the curtains are wide open, so you go to the other side and you definitely see it as well. And as you're kind of like walking on the stage, or like pointing your flashlight on the ground, the floor, at first you assumed it was kind of like just red tile, but as you kind of look down, you notice that, like, from Sam setting up the tripod and stuff and putting on the Ouija board and picking it up, you see it, that it definitely scratched up the floor, and below it, it's actually white.
Oh, that's definitely not good. So I realize my boots have been slightly sticking to the floor more than they should be, and I kind of point out, heads up, we
I thought that was the gum.
Might have literally walked into a very messy murder situation. As I kind of just sweep the flashlight across all the floor.
Yeah, and then the rest of you are seeing, like, what you assume to be just like a red tile, like, you know, part of this stage. Like, Max could, like, kind of scooch her, like, her boots on the ground and just, like, show that there's white underneath it.
With this, with my previous investigate a mystery, can I, is anything clicking in, piecing in there?
Like, did you want to do, like, another what's being concealed here, or?
I mean, I can roll for it if you
want. Yeah, I think totally you can, yeah.
That's a 9.
So you hold 1.
Yeah, I guess what's being concealed here?
If you want to go up and you're kind of like noticing this, you could investigate in whatever weird way that Alan Unite does. That this... I'm trying to think of what else I could give y'all without being... Okay, so you're going through and you're kind of like looking more around the stage. And as you get closer to like the actual screen, you see that there seems to be less red. It's more white, but you also see distinct like... Shut up, it's...
That's the fourth host of our podcast.
You're right. You see, well, assume you just thought were spots, but you see what's now you could tell after looking at it and following it down are like footprints of what they used to be like heels.
Okay, I'll definitely point that out to the group.
So something that makes me a little uncomfortable is there's a lot of blood but no bits. So that either leads to the body was moved somewhere after it was completely, you know, eviscerated, or it was here and it is no longer here.
Can I investigate a mystery using scent?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Can I like follow the trail using scent?
If you'd like, yeah. Is that part of like the monstrous thing?
Yeah, it's part of my shapeshifter. Plus one investigative mystery.
Oh, okay.
Using the alternate form superior senses.
Yeah, if you want, you could totally roll that, get your plus one. And what I imagine is that like you are doing this, and just like your nose turns into a snout.
Oh, yeah. I definitely don't fully change, but like everything, yeah, everything from like the nose down to the chin is far more bear-like. Seven.
So seven, that is, again, a hold one. So if you want, like what one of those questions would you like to ask?
Where did it go?
Okay. As you are kind of, let's say you're doing this and then you are able to shapeshift like your nose and like your eyes. So you get like a little bit better dark vision because, you know, bears don't have dark vision, but they could see better in the dark. I assume so. I'm making
humans. At
least. I assume. Yeah. I can only assume that they're better equipped for night sight than humans.
Yeah, I would assume so. And so you are kind of like picking up the scent, but the first thing you know is that you get the scent of like, you know, the smell of like everyone. You're still getting used to like Chris and Joanna, but you also are overwhelmed by the different smells of like way more people than you could imagine were here, like recently or not, and you can't tell if that's because it's all like this blood on the stage or whatever, but you are having a hard time kind of picking up where those specific footprints are going, but you are kind of like getting drawn to where Sam is with the Ouija board. And as you get near Sam, you actually start to notice that without you all kind of saying anything, your Ouija board's actually starting to move.
Boss, you want to check this out?
Chris turns around, like, shit, that actually works.
I just come over, still shotgun in hand. What is it saying?
I look down. What's it saying?
It's going first, and then like letter by letter. So I'm gonna put this in the Zencastr chat. So first, it's like it. You kind of like see the.
Oh, it's a friendly guy.
You see the what?
It's saying hello.
The fuck is, what's the thing called?
Oh God! What the is one that called? I know Trevor said it earlier.
What
the thing for the Ouija board?
The pointer.
Oh, the planchette.
Yes, you see the planchette going across, and it does spell out hello. And as soon as it gets to the O, you all hear voice from behind you. I was like, hello.
Yeah, Alan's going to spin around with fire in his hand.
I'm going to spin around and take a picture with my flash on.
Well, in one hand.
Like, you all turn around and you see this figure appear, kind of shrouded in like the darkness at first, but then as soon as like the camera goes off, you see a flash of what seems to be a tall, slender figure appears. And as your flashes go through them, you see what you could only assume at first to be a tall, slender woman in this long, red, flowing robe. Approach y'all. God,
we've lost Marie.
It's kind of dark, but they have very sharp facial features. But they hear, good afternoon, good evening. I see y'all have joined me in for my production.
Well, I'm gonna have to say that your set design is a little shit, but I guess.
Let me put down my nacho machine.
and he doesn't say this out loud, but Alan legitimately has this moment where he's like, I legitimately thought that he was gonna use that as a weapon, and I'm a little disappointed in myself that I didn't know better.
I'm going to have the same thought as Alan and sitting here trying to think of what pun he was going to use, why he used it as a weapon. But then he set it down and I'm just like visibly upset.
Joanna is going to speak up after first kind of like side glancing at Jacob. I'm just like, so what do you mean by production? You don't. Oh, Joanna. And Joanna does seem a little bit surprised that they know their name. I know you haven't been here that long, but I thought you'd be smarter than that. You see, this. What better place to, bring. How does one say? Bring a little bit of excitement to this small town than a theater, no?
I don't know. I think fireworks are pretty nice. Have a nice little like farmer's market.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, we have a different idea of excitement.
Music, like music show. Yeah, I mean,
not that far away is Rose City Comic Con. I've covered it, you know.
Even in the midst of this, Alan just closes his eyes and goes, yes, we know. Yeah, no, I think Alan's gonna go, okay, listen, let's just cut to the crap here. Did you kill someone here?
Me?
Multiple someone.
Me?
There's a lot more than one here.
I don't get my hands dirty for anyone. No. I had a little help. But you
were involved. That's what I'm getting at here.
If you want to say it like that, yes, I am. And she snaps her fingers, and then the lights in the theater come on. Finally,
you found the light switch.
And then as you see, like this, she becomes more apparent. This figure is a very tall and skinny, sharp features woman, like I want to say like 6'2", kind of like long hair that is like down to her waist. It's dark with like tinges of like red in it. And not well kept, like it's like it's long and going one way, but you definitely see frazzled split ends and stuff. And she has this like kind of small eyes with this very wide smile with this dark lipstick on her face going just barely accentuating her lips, and just like, you see, I knew Joanna that you'd come around eventually, and you brought so many treats with you.
Alan actually
nobody would ever call me a treat. Jacob speaks up from his nacho machine he's setting down.
Yeah, Kit, Max is gonna straight up just be like, no, Jacob, bear. And she's gonna aim the shotgun up and just try to shoot her.
Yeah, bear.
Roll to kick some ass.
Okay.
Jacob's a bear.
All right, but
he screams, turning into a bear.
I'm just gonna get some cool action shots.
That's gonna be an 11 to kick some ass.
Okay, to kick some ass. So, your shotgun has fixed damage on it, and then with kick some ass, what does that is a full hit.
So, choose one extra effect, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. So if you roll 10 plus, you gain advantage, take plus one forward, or give plus one to another hunter. You inflict terrible harm. You suffer less harm, or you force them where you want them.
I kind of would like to use like very old school action movie shotgun, just blowing them off the stage. Away from me a little bit so we have some space, because I don't like her.
Okay, yeah. As you say Jacob bear, Jacob says Jacob, I turned a bear or whatever he just said. you fire, and when the pellets expect to hit, there seems to be like, you seem to push them off the stage, but there is much more flurry of motion than you'd expect. And you, instead of seeing them falling, you then see them behind you, and you feel sharp nails in your neck as you get thrown across the stage, and she's now behind you.
Wonderful.
Oh, fucking rude. And
so, you have to try harder.
I would like to try harder with than that by throwing a fire bolt at her face.
Alan and I is like, you're about to do that. I will say she is literally like right next to all of y'all.
Do it.
Oh yeah, no, that's why I said fire bolt, not fireball.
Fair, okay.
Yeah. I mean, I have
important distinction.
Yes. Yeah. And essentially, I am. How am I going to do this with all three of them? You see Alan hold up his staff, take something out of his pocket, and he strikes it against the staff, and these runes light up on it as the fire from the match ignites with it, and the firebolt shoots off towards this person.
All right. And I think for your kick some ass, you used a plus weird for use magic.
Yes, I do. That is a 10.
Y'all are doing nothing but good rolls here. That's so fucking great.
I rolled my sets of d6s. I'm using my idle champions ones, and they're treating me very nice tonight.
All right, so you choose one extra effect. So
I'm
gonna paste those, pasta those.
Did you say that she was behind Max? Is she like, does she have a hand
she
on her?
Picked her up and threw her.
Okay, she picked her up and threw her.
Yeah, she threw her across the stage.
Okay,
which, I still succeed in getting away from her, so it works out.
Yeah.
That's fair. I think I'm just going to add another harm.
Okay, so you're going to be picking additional harm. Okay.
That would be two harm.
Okay, so as you get this, like, you light this up, and essentially, I imagine like you're using the staff, so you kind of like move it around and kind of like whip it at them, and it like comes out from the end. The firebolt hits them squarely in the chest, and you see like it doesn't dissipate right away. You actually see it kind of like start to scorch and go across like their dress, but that you do hear like anguish scream, and as they're kind of like reeling back, they whip you with one of their like long linky arms, and you're gonna take one harm as well.
Okay. Alan's gonna kind of like wheel back from that, put his hand in the pocket that he got the match out of, and he just goes, I can do this 36 more times today.
Okay. Who wants to, does anyone else want to do anything at this moment?
The bear would like to kick some ass.
Yeah, as I think that's it's a reaction. You're like seeing that you've full bear and you see this woman like kind of like tumbling back and wiping the scorch off her chest, and looking up at you with kind of like wild eyes as she sees this bear charging her.
That makes two of us with the wild eyes and whatnot. Yeah, let's jump right in there. Right in the splash zone. Oh, good. Snake eyes.
Ooh.
That's good. That's what you want.
Okay.
Right? So that's five total.
I know, because me and Weathers are new, right? There is like a luck system in this game, isn't there?
There is. So, luck essentially is a finite source you have. When you use luck, you could change your roll to a full success. However, each playbook has kind of like this luck.
I'm digging into my curse. And we're just going to go ahead and use luck.
Okay, and what's the luck move for the monstrous?
When you spend a point of luck, your monster side gains power. Your curse may become stronger, or another breed disadvantage may manifest. So my curse becomes stronger, but, I mean, that's my monster side. And my monster side's the only side that's worth anything to anybody.
Oh.
Wow. Jake
was so sad. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't feel sadness, but he definitely is a sad character.
Okay.
Anyway, that would make that a 15.
Yeah, so, I mean, it turns into essentially a full success. So you get to get one of the additional ones. And as kind of like this happens, Marie, you kind of like see this bear, and like now that the lights are on, you kind of like get a scene. You see this, the wild eyes of this werebear, and usually you're able to see like the eyes, some sense of Jacob, like as much as like sometimes you don't want to see it, you still see it. But as you're seeing them like run towards this figure, this tall, angry woman, you see kind of like the sense of Jacob kind of falter a bit, and it's more bear like you've seen before. And for Jacob, what are you gonna do?
Oh, we're gonna do plus one harm. Okay. For a total of five harm.
What the fuck is you?
And intimidate.
You have three harm or four harm?
I have four harm. I have base teeth, which is three harm, and then extra for plus one to my base.
Fuck them up.
So we're doing five harm and intimidate.
Hell yeah.
Okay. And as this you essentially you tackle this woman in your bear form, and you are biting their midsection. You feel your
classic Jacob.
Classic Jacob. You feel your jaw like bite deep in, and you get this like, as you're, even as like in your bear form, you've tasted, you know, blood of creatures and stuff, and like you kind of get that coppery note, like allegedly. But this is like different. Like as you bite into this, you get like this sense of like this is not something you've felt or seen before. And as you're like on this ground, essentially mauling this creature, this figure, this person, you start hearing them laugh. And it's this like maniacal, like piercing laugh that even like makes you falter for a bit. And as soon as like you like falter and your teeth gone, the figure disappears. And now kind of booming in this theater, you hear their voice again. It's like, well, you are all more difficult than I'm used to. So I may have to get my hands more dirty than I thought. But I have other plans first. And after she says that, the projector comes on and you see the light hit the screen, the tore up graffiti screen. And from the kind of like the tear in the middle, you see that the screen's actually starting to burn and fizzle away. And behind this screen, as it completely disappears and fades to ash, you see in front of you on the ground a teddy bear.
Well, that was unexpected.
Nope.
And
what's up and welcome to a difficulty class promo.
I'm one of your promoters, Allie Deichman, and with me is
Trevor Bettis, and we're here to tell you about our show,
Difficulty Class, a show about all things Dungeons and Dragons.
I wanted to kind of start this topic by asking, and I already know the answer to this.
Oh no.
Have you ever had a player character death?
Yes, yes. I've killed my wife twice, yes.
My favorite flaw I've ever done was actually my necromancer. She couldn't handle any kind of gore and would throw up on the sight of it.
I love it.
A necromancer.
Yep. That's so good. And like the elf dude goes, I like your gumption. And Char goes, I like the word gumption. And Kyle turns to me and goes, you are a walking disappointment.
Briefly, Trevor and I kind of talked earlier about like, well, how do you build a dungeon? As soon as she feels that, her neck just, she just snaps up and she looks at you. And she immediately starts to just snarl at you. And her mouth starts transforming. And she herself starts getting larger. And we're going to roll initiative.
All right. Difficulty Class goes up twice a week, Wednesday where we talk about the games that we're playing, and Friday where we just have some good conversation about tabletop RPGs. They're available on any of your favorite podcast services, and we hope you have fun listening to them. Have a good game.